Beloved in Christ, it's Christmas Eve, and tonight it is our duty and our delight yet again to hear the wondrous story of God's love, the story that's revealed to us in our Savior's birth in Bethlehem. For he came to share our flesh, to share our lives, to redeem us, and to show us the way home.
This evening, we will receive an offering which will be donated to the Northeast Regional Food Bank. They will credit our donations to the accounts of some of the local ministries that we regularly support: the Schenectady City Mission, the Salvation Army, Bethesda House, the Sikkim Schenectady Inner City Ministry Food Pantry, and the Scotia Food Pantry. The need for food is very high at this time of year at all of these missions, and we ask that you give generously. Thank you.
And please help us deliver the poinsettias that vest our sanctuary when worship is done. We give them to some of the people that we want to remember at Christmas. The way to do this is, on your way out, select a name from a bulletin board in the narthex. It's leaning up there someplace. Look for it. You'll find it. Take a red poinsettia, but not the one on the table there or the one on the table there, any other, and take it, and an usher will help you put a paper over it, and then plan your delivery for some time in the next couple of days.
A final note about liturgy tonight. We close our worship by lighting our candles and by singing Silent Night together. When you pass the candlelight to one another, hold your burning candle upright, tip your unlit candle into the light. And for safety's sake, blow out your candles after the benediction as we get ready to stand for singing Joy to the World together.
And now it's time to once again hear the story, to stand in awe of Christ's birth among us, and to worship the triune God who loves us so. Pray with me. Glory be to you, Almighty God, for becoming incarnate in your Son, Jesus, that we might have new life in him. Glory be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for you became flesh and dwelt among us, that we might become your people. And glory be to you, Holy Spirit, for working in us each and all to turn our hearts to the light and to bring us hope. Amen.
Thank you. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn.
Thank you. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been told to them.
Thank you. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, and from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
so we also bring our gifts with great joy and generosity. This is a night for singing, so we sing together our prayer as we offer our gifts to God.
Thank you.
Pray with me. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as many of you already know, there are four Gospels in the New Testament, the second main division of our Bibles. In fact, those four Gospels open the New Testament, and they are, of course, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We use three of them tonight to tell the Christmas story. In the Gospel of Luke, we read about Mary and Joseph finding no room in the inn, but instead finding a place in a stable where the one who would be called the bread of life was laid in a manger, in a food box for animals. And it is from the Gospel of Luke where we read about poor shepherds being visited by angels who announced the Savior's birth. In the Gospel of Matthew, we learn about magi or wise men or astrologers from far away who come to pay homage to the Christ child, somehow understanding that this child is for them too, though they come from far away, and not just for them, but for all the world. In a few moments, when we light the Christ candle before we sing Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, we'll read from the Gospel of John and hear in words that echo the opening chapter of Genesis, words about the Word that called creation into being, that Word becoming flesh to dwell among us. It's only the Gospel of Mark from which we do not hear, and that for the simple reason that Mark doesn't tell us about Christmas. Mark's Gospel begins like this: the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Then, right after that, Mark tells us about the time that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Now, I recently learned that in some of the ancient manuscripts of Mark's Gospel, that first sentence stands alone as a kind of a one-sentence introduction to the entire Gospel, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of that, I wonder if that is the way that Mark wants to tell us about Christmas, that Christmas is the beginning of the gospel and only the beginning. Now, I don't know about you, but Christmas sometimes feels to me like an ending, not like a beginning. Earlier this evening, I wish you could have been here. People packed into this sanctuary for a wonderful Christmas pageant put on by our church's Christian education staff. And let me tell you, they worked hard for weeks, staff and children rehearsing movement, preparing costumes, learning lines. It was wonderful. On the way out of church, the photographer from the Schenectady Gazette said to me, "That was spectacular." And it was. And now it's over. And it's a wonderful memory. Thinking of that, Christmas hardly feels like a beginning. I went shopping this afternoon. I thought I'd run in and get a few stocking stuffers. Well, do you know that some people wait until the last minute to do their Christmas shopping? There were no places to park in the parking lots. The stores were full of people, all preparing and getting ready for Christmas. And when it has come, and when the packages have been opened, and when the ornaments on the tree have been wrapped back up in tissue paper and put back into their boxes, and the strings of lights stored away, and the tree finally put on the side of the road for the town to pick up, it will all be over for another year. A wonderful memory. Christmas hardly feels like a beginning. And yet, as this service comes to an end, and as this day comes to an end, and as this year comes to an end, are you as drawn to Mark's words as I am? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. According to Mark, Christmas is not an end. It is a beginning. It is the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news. And if we think about it for just a moment, don't we discover that Mark is right? After all, had the story of Mary and Joseph and the birth of their child been just another story about Mid-Eastern peasants living in troubled times, caught up in events well beyond their control, we would honestly never have heard it. It would not have been remembered any more than the stories of so many others over the centuries who lived out their days, trying to survive, trying to be more or less happy, and were soon forgotten. Had it been only that, their story would not have been remembered, and we would not be here in the sanctuary tonight. But something new did happen in the world that night. God entered the world in a way that the divine had never entered the world before, and ever since then, something new has happened to people who have heard the story, who have embraced the story, or who have been embraced by the story. Because the point of the story and the reason for the story is the good news that God is concerned about the lives of people, about your life and about mine. That God is concerned about the world we live in and share with others, and that God is concerned enough to enter it and to become a part of it. And in so doing, to make Bethlehem the Bethlehems of the world, the forgotten places of the world, the ordinary places of the world, the homes of this world, homes like yours and mine, into holy places. Holy places because hope lives where God is present. Holy because life matters when God is present. Holy because forgiveness and grace and fresh starts happen when God is present. That is good news. I think that Mark understood. I think that Mark tells us about Christmas when he simply and profoundly writes the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need some good news tonight? I pray that you may embrace the story of Christmas anew and afresh this night, and that for you too, Christmas may not be an ending, but a blessed beginning.
Let us pray. O holy God, with the angels we sing and glorify your name, thankful for all that you have given to us, for your presence in the world, for your life in this community of faith, and for the witness of your church that celebrates Christ's birth all around the world this night. Tonight, we are especially grateful for the gift of your Son, who came as a baby in a manger, and whose life opens for us the way to eternity.
With the angels, we also desire peace on earth, a peace that is broader and deeper than an end of war. We pray for the restoration of this world, for the growth of your kingdom, for reconciliation between nations and cultures, for an end to violence, and for the growth of compassion. We pray for the embracing of noble responsibilities, for a better respect for creation, and for healthier families and relationships. As we return to our homes, grant that we may go home as changed and changing people, people who desire with all our hearts to be instruments of your peace and catalysts of making what we pray for a reality.
And because Christ particularly is mindful of them, and because this of all prayers would make him glad, we remember in his name the poor and the helpless, the hungry and the oppressed, the cold, the lonely, and those beset by war. We pray for the aged and for little children. We remember those who are sick, those who are in the hospital, those who are near death, and those who grieve.
And lastly, we remember before you, our God, all those who rejoice with us this night, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in your word made flesh, and with whom in our Lord Jesus we are forevermore one.
We offer up our prayers and our praises in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is from John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.